Welcome to Farmscape Online. I'm Bruce Cochran. My guest is Dr. Susan Detmer, a veterinary pathologist with the Western College of Veterinary Medicine. Thanks for joining us, Dr. Detmer.
Thank you for having me.
Influenza season is once again upon us. First of all, what exactly is influenza or flu? How potentially serious is the infection? How widely varied are the organisms that cause flu, and what are the implications of that variation?
Influenza is a virus that infects the mostly upper respiratory tract, but it can move down into the lungs and cause pneumonia. It is often mistaken for the stomach flu, which causes vomiting and diarrhea, and is much more commonly found. The virus is an RNA virus. It's highly susceptible to the environment, and it can infect pretty readily from human to human if it's a nice virulent virus, which is what we see with our seasonal human flu viruses. We see both influenza A and influenza B viruses in humans, and most of the viruses we tend to see are influenza A viruses. These have subtypes. Usually H1N1 and H3N2 are found in humans. Occasionally H1N2 viruses are found in humans as well. They track these in both the northern and southern hemisphere around the world, and that's how they decide which vaccine viruses should be in the vaccine, because they know which viruses are most virulent and most common at the end of the season.
What species are susceptible to flu, and consequently, what are the health implications for both humans and animals?
So, actually, any mammal can be susceptible to influenza A viruses. They're most commonly seen in birds. Wild birds like waterfowl are actually the reservoir for most influenza A viruses. But humans have their own strains that they're more susceptible to. Dogs have strains that they're more susceptible to, which are similar to the ones in horses. And pigs have strains that they're more susceptible to. They're slightly genetically variant, so they can cross between the species, but they don't typically do that. The one virus that was different was the 2009 pandemic H1N1 virus, which actually did infect pet dogs and cats, as well as pigs and zoo animals. The implication of most viruses getting into other species is that it typically is dead-end host, because the host typically cannot pass it on to another person, or if it's a dog, another dog.
What are the primary preventions for flu, both in humans and animals, and how do approaches to prevention vary, and why?
The number one preventative measure that we use is the vaccine. Typically, less than 20% of the population actually gets vaccinated, and we would need more than 80% of the population to get infected in order to get what we call the herd immunity effect, where the people that cannot be vaccinated are protected because the rest of the population is protected. The vaccine is fairly effective if the strain matches that they're infected with, matches the vaccine strain. If there's a big difference, then there's no protection from the vaccine. Typically, what most people get is they'll have a partial protection from the vaccine. So instead of being sick for 5 to 7 days with the virus, they're only sick for 4 or 5 days at the most. Typically, they clear the virus within the first 4 days, and they're not shedding it anymore by the 5th day. And that's the number one reason why we recommend people get vaccinated, because if you shed less virus overall, you're less likely to infect another person. You're also going to get over the virus infection before it gets down into your lungs and causes pneumonia, which can actually be lethal.
How do vaccines actually work? How effective are they? And how safe are they?
The way the vaccine works is we usually have a killed virus. Most people get the injectable virus that goes into their shoulder muscle. And that virus is picked out. There's usually a combination of three or four viruses in the human seasonal vaccines. And they pick those based on what is circulating. So up until last year, the strain of, for instance, 2009 pandemic H1N1, they were using close to the original strain. But what's been circulating in humans has genetically evolved in the population because it's now an endemic virus in the human population and comes back every season. So now they chose one that was more current, that was isolated from another human, and that virus is more likely to match and protect people against the currently circulating strain. The H3N2 virus is not going to cross-protect against an H1N1 virus, so therefore they have to have a mixture of viruses in the vaccine. The issues with the vaccine for some people is if they get the modified live vaccine up the nose, it actually replicates in your nose, and you don't want to get that vaccine if you're around people who have a reduced immune system function, because that virus could actually be shed just for a day, but it can be. The injectable viruses are actually produced in eggs, so if you have an egg allergy, you should not get that vaccine. And if you've ever had Guillain-Barré syndrome, you should never get the vaccine because there's a risk that you could develop it from the vaccine. It really is rarely seen, but that is something that they will ask you when both if you have an egg allergy or if you've ever had Guillain-Barré syndrome, before you get your vaccine. The overall safety of the vaccine, it is a very safe vaccine, and young children to older adults should be getting the vaccine to protect themselves because they are the most susceptible populations.
What are the potential benefits of prevention of the flu, first of all, for humans, and secondly, for livestock producers and the animals in their care?
For the general public, protecting yourself and the people around you will reduce the amount of flu virus going around. So if you have influenza and you have a fever, that's when you're shedding the most virus, is that 24 to 48 hours after you're infected. At that point, you should not be around the other people because you could give it to someone who could not get vaccinated, who would have the potential of developing pneumonia or more serious illness from getting the virus. And because you want to help the other people around you, you should get vaccinated. It will also help you because even if it doesn't protect you 100%, even if you just have partial protection, it could potentially help you get over your infection much faster. As far as livestock producers go, especially people who work with pigs, you should get vaccinated because every year I see whole herds break with pandemic H1N1 virus. And it's a new introduction from someone working on the farm who brings the virus with them to work and spreads it to the herd. It's much more expensive. If you consider the cost of the vaccine, there is a pandemic vaccine you can use in pigs, But if you had to pay for all 2,000 pigs on that farm to be vaccinated, it's much more expensive than going to the pharmacy or one of the flu clinics or your personal physician and getting the vaccine for free because it's part of the provincial healthcare program.
How does the seasonal flu cycle work, and why and when is the ideal time to be vaccinated?
In the human population, as well as in pigs, we see two peaks in the viral transmission. So late November, early December, up until the holidays, typically is the first peak that we see. Because that's when the first peak is, usually by the beginning of November, you want to be vaccinated. Late November at the latest. The second peak is typically around April, March and April. And that peak is late season, is towards the end of the year when the weather is changing and people are going in and out of the house when it could be cold and then hot the next day. And that typically is when we see a lot of influenza in both humans and in pigs. So given that there are two peaks, both in the late fall and late winter, the best time to get vaccinated is October, November. So if you haven't been vaccinated yet, you should go and get your vaccine in the next couple weeks. If you can't get it until Christmas, get it at Christmas, but you don't want to be sick when you're getting it. You want to make sure your health status is good. You don't want to be ill when you're vaccinated.
And is there anything you would like to add?
You don't get influenza from the influenza vaccine. Oftentimes, when people go to a flu clinic to get the vaccine, they are exposed to rhinovirus or some other common cold virus, and that's what they are contracting. So that is probably one of the biggest myths that I hear is, I don't want to get the vaccine because I got sick the last time I got vaccinated. But that is not true. The virus vaccine, if you're getting the injectable vaccine in your shoulder, it is a killed virus vaccine, and you do not contract the virus from it.
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you for having me.
Our guest has been Dr. Susan Detmer, a veterinary pathologist with the Western College of Veterinary Medicine. For Farmscape Online, I'm Bruce Cochran.